My beloved people, today, Sexagesima Sunday, I apologize for my weaknesses, but it makes me wonder, because today's epistle, certainly, St. Paul is bemoaning all of his problems. It makes me wonder, and it afflicts me greatly, as I'm sure it must afflict you. I wonder what St. Paul would have to say if he were living today. I wonder how much he would add or would have added to his epistle if he were walking around the streets today. I wonder. I have said more than once that the sands that we ourselves today are walking upon are hotter than any sands that have ever been put under the foot of any man ever before. I truly believe that. And I firmly recommend that we, who by the grace of God have been given the grace to see, that what we see before us, we do see, and that what we hear, that we understand. This is what I hope. And the journey that we are taking is ever so perilous and full of trouble for everybody. This morning, I wish to take a few minutes' time to explain something. A couple of weeks ago, when Father Michael was standing before you, he mentioned to you that there was something going on with the Society of St. Pius X. And he told you that I would discuss the matter a little bit more at length the next time I stood before you. Well, that was last Sunday. And to be perfectly honest with you, I purposely did not mention anything last Sunday, because I did not feel that I had sufficient information to speak. And it is certainly not my or our position here to spread gossip, or to argue, or debate, or criticize anybody. And the only position that we should take in this affair is the position of what we can see, objectively speaking, almost as newscasters, with, I hope, a lot more truth than that. About the most principal thing that I can say to you at this moment about this affair is this, that so far as we can tell, no absolute final ultimatum has been signed by anybody, at least as far as I can see it at this moment. But it is safe to say, as a matter of fact, even the communications that come out from the Society are already speaking of it, which we got one just this past week. There are two things that were particularly prominent in this lengthy letter coming from the national superiors of this country. First of all, that we are not going to be told everything that they already know, or that they know. Well, that's important. And the second thing, which is paramount, is, now this we can say with safety, that there is serious dialogue between the Society of St. Pius X and the organized institutional Church of Rome at this moment. There is serious dialogue. And from what I have been told, not in the letter, but by others, that the major superiors in the society are anxious, very anxious, to settle the issue before Easter of this year. So that's where we are at the present moment. What will come of this, I do not know. Only God knows, as St. Paul said this morning. How it will turn out, I do not know. Only God knows. How it will affect us, and it will, I do not know. Only God knows. Therefore, the only thing, my beloved people, the only thing that we have to keep in mind is the seriousness of the reason why we are here. Why you left your homes on a cold morning to come to this place and spend some of your time in an act of this particular kind or interpretation or application of worship. And that is the faith that has motivated you to do just that. That's what we have to understand. Is our faith. And that your faith caused you to come here, not because of a preference that you may have for this particular ceremonial over that particular ceremonial. My dear people, as far as the ceremonial goes, you and I and these monks and these nuns, if it ever comes to that, which God forbid, and it might well do so, you must be as willing, we must be as willing to go out into the woods and do on a stump that is in the middle of the woods, the same that we do right here. And the same faith must urge us with the same strength, with the same conviction, with the same determination that causes us to come into this building where everything is reasonably clean and reasonably ordered, and silks and satins and gold and stuff like that. That may all go before it's over with. And all we may have is just a stump. And you have got to see God. You have got to see Jesus Christ just as much on that stump as as you see him on this altar in this church, or in any altar of this nature, wherever it is located. It is not because, my beloved people, let us keep this well in mind. It is not because you are so enamored of the things of antiquity that we're here, that the pretty vestments, that the pretty statues, the pretty whatever, the motions, the ceremonial, the rubrics, the this, the that, the music and all, that we are here because we are trying to preserve this beautiful ceremonial, just as we might try to preserve any work of art. We're not here because of an art form. We are here because of a religion. That's the only reason. And our feeling toward that holy religion, our holy faith, a while ago I was a little emotional, now I'm getting angry. Our service toward that which we come here for must not be a matter of simple loyalty. It is not a matter of patriotism, that you're being patriotic either to this or to that, or not to this or not to that, or whatever. We're not here for patriotism. We're not here for loyalty. We're here for faith. Too much of what we are bothered with today is politics. And our holy religion has been reduced to a matter of clever politics. And let me tell you, the recorder can't see my action. Let me tell you, the fancy language is already well on its way. I have told you, and I repeat it for emphasis, the dragon is going to sweep his tail one more time. And this time, he is going to get most of the rest of us. If we do not understand what the message is. In our bulletins, we stress Catholic experience, do we not? We do not publish doctrinal dissertations in our bulletins. And the Catholic experience, this is not necessarily it doesn't consist in the musings and the meditations of an old man who happens to have been there when these things were common everyday practices and were seen by everybody, that anybody went to church anytime at all they went. These are not the meditations of an old man. They are things as they were. That we will ever get them back as they once were, let us forget that. And let us carefully use the word restoration. We are trying to hang on for dear life, and we're talking restoration. That makes no sense, whatever. Catholic experience. We speak of this, and as Benedictines, we feel this very keenly, in that we listen to the words, the very, very, very opening words, the very first sentence. of the Holy Rule of St. Benedict, I don't have it in front of me. I will quote it as best I can. Listen, O my son, to the precepts of the Father, and with the ears of your heart, listen to the precepts. With the ears of your heart. My beloved people, the problem today is that our faith seems to have gotten somehow stuck in our intellect. And with the information that comes to, I'm speaking now of information, please understand that the difference between information and knowledge. A computer has information. A man of God has knowledge. And there is difference there. But it seems that what comes to us has been stuck, like when you're pouring things into a funnel, the little mouth there has gotten stuck on the intellectual level. And in this business of being patriotic to one and unpatriotic to the other, or loyalty to a democratic form of government as opposed to loyalty to a dictatorial form of government or whatever, this is all stuck on the level of the intellect, and it stays stuck there. And we all know that this is subject to the latest one who has gotten to my ear. And that actually my loyalty, my devotion depends on the information that I am being given. May I bring to your minds a recent catastrophe concerning our very president of our country, and how both sides were shooting cannonades of information to us, and how each side was politically trying to pull in this direction, in that direction, those of us whose minds could be easily affected. Saint Benedict does not speak to the mind. He speaks to the heart. And all the cannonades of all the information that could be put together by our ingenuity will not affect my heart, nor your heart. And this is what we have to keep alive. You come here not because it is intellectually correct or doctrinally correct to come here, not only because of that. You come here because you and I believe. Faith is a gift. It is a very special gift. It is the greatest gift that God can give to man. And it is my faith that when the priest holds up a piece of bread, I don't see bread. I don't see bread at all. What do you see? We must not see bread. What the priest holds in his hands is Jesus Christ himself. And that is that. And neither can I take it both ways, as will be the actual, if this ever transpires that we're talking about, they will have to acknowledge, as others before them have had to acknowledge, that in this one hand here, I hold Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. While at the same time, I can hold in this hand that what I hold in my hand here, well, now let me think that one over. It's symbolic. It pretends to be. I cannot believe two opposing things simultaneously. Can you? If you are, good heavens, what has taken place in the mind of man? You can't believe two things that are in opposition to each other at the same time. I cannot teach at my 8 o'clock period class that 2 and 2 make 4 all the time. Now when I go to my 10 o'clock class, that I can teach 2 and 2 equals 10 anytime you want it to. I can't do that. It's not because I'm that kind of an honest person. I just can't do that much violence to my intellectual, well, it's not very much, but whatever little there is there, that even that rebels against such a procedure, doesn't it, in any reasonable person. If we come here, me, if I am here, simply because I prefer the comforts of this that I enjoyed in my childhood of many years ago, or because this is the way that I was taught when I entered the seminary, and so therefore I like that better. And that's why I'm doing this, because I like it better. If this is the reason why I am here before you, right here, right now, in this church, at this time, if that's my reason, it would be better for me to take off to the great city of New Orleans for Mardi Gras and have a ball. And I will invite all of you to come with me. If that's my reason. The only reason I am here and the only reason that you are here is because I believe and because you believe. And that is that. All other circumstances to the contrary, notwithstanding. And any agency, I don't care who the agency is, as somebody said, I don't know at the moment, if one of the saints or one of the angels of heaven would come down and say to me, do this, which is wrong, I must disobey the angel. It is not because I'm disobedient. It's because I believe. You're not disobedient. It's because you believe. That's why you are here. And we must re-examine ourselves on a daily basis what our reason is, our final motivating reason that urges us to stand up in this horrendous persecution that we are in at the moment. Oh yes, we're all enjoying our usual opulence. We're all comfortable. We're in a warm church. We come here in a warm car. We have good meals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and so on and so on. And things are, you know, as far as my pattern, my daily pattern, my daily living has not been affected, has it? You can still go to the stores. You can still hold your jobs. You can still earn all the money you want. You can, or like to, and whatever. You can do all of that today. And so we might think that this is, you know, this is child's play. Your job, your car, your house, your clothes, your food, all those things are nothing. The only thing that matters, that has to matter with you and me, is the purpose, that we fulfill the purpose for which God has created us and brought us here. You must pray. You must pray with all your might that we and those, wherever we are, God's faithful elect people, whoever they are and wherever they are, we must pray that this faith that we speak of, that we can hang on to it. We're not going out with torches and guns and brick bats and baseball clubs and convert the world. The only one that I have to be most concerned about is who? Me. And if I can keep me on the right path, regardless of what me is guilty of in past days, regardless, as long as I can keep me on the right path, then we can convert the world. Saint Benedict said, with the ears of your heart. And he was walking around in a pretty bad situation himself, as we know. But it's that simple little statement of his that finally transformed the face of known civilization completely. And this rule was the governing rule for centuries and centuries and centuries, and was the basis for practically all of the other religions. Not that we're boasting about this rule, it was the first of its kind in our age, in our neighborhood. So, my beloved people, we must not lose courage. We must maintain our strength. We must not be afraid. We must always keep in mind that Almighty God is certainly the one who is in charge, and that Almighty God has more power than the enemy, whoever he is, wherever he is, and however he acts. But we have to settle on what we believe in, and we can't take it both ways. We can't take it this way one Sunday and that way the next Sunday. It's either all this way or it's all that way. If we can take it one way one time and one way another time, then when the dragon's tail does come around to sweep, then why not go with the flow? Right? And it will not affect us at all. I assure you that the penances that we have to endure because of this are tremendous. And yes, I could not help myself, because as I was hearing St. Paul speak and complain a while ago, he was talking to us, wasn't he? He was telling us what he had to suffer. Now we could write an epistle to him and tell him what we have to suffer. May God bless us, my beloved people. We do not speak against anybody. And all of this that I've said, like I say, it's on tape. And if anyone wants a copy of this tape to give to anybody for whatever reason whatsoever, they're welcome to it. Because I have not said anything that could be classified as uncharitable, as unchristian, or as gossip. I'm scared, and I'm transferring my scare to you. At the same time, from my weakness, I have to give you strength. Isn't that crazy that we're called upon to have to do this? The only thing that I want to protect is our, first of all, my own holy religion in me and the religion that was left to me by Jesus Christ himself. Now I would like for all of us to kneel that I may give you a special blessing.